Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
So,
hello.
How are you?
Long lost friend, how are you?
Hello, was it? It's me.
How are you? I'm fucking bored of lockdown. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. I mean, I didn't eat from Thursday Monday morning. I mean, normally, if I don't eat for like 37 minutes, I'm starving. And I mean, I just couldn't. I just couldn't eat. I was just felt so rubbish.
Look, for those people that are listening that don't know what's happened here, Georgia, you've been really sick.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not really, really, really sick, but just actually sick. Like, just couldn't. I couldn't keep any food down randomly for like, yeah, for 4 days. So,
what was the first thing I said to you?
What was the first thing you said?
Oh
yeah! Oh my gosh! Yes, she did. I blocked that out of my mind. She put, "Are you pregnant?" And oh, absolutely, I am not pregnant. No, absolutely not.
Once you clarified that, that's fine. But then I was like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I hope you're feeling okay, because there is literally like, name something worse than having to parent through food poisoning or some sort of stomach bug. Nothing.
Honestly, there really isn't, because there's nothing you can do. You have got to carry on. So I'm like throwing up, laying on the sofa, sweating. Like, I mean, just gross. And Axel actually put a doctor's outfit on, and he made Gigi put a little nurse's outfit on, which is just like hilarious. Oh, I'll pop a picture on Instagram. And they were looking after me. But I think at one point he was actually concerned when I was like, Axel, you really need to look after me. He was like, but I can't. I'm just a kid.
I'm not a real doctor. I'm a pretend doctor.
Yeah, there was a point where I thought, oh, I think I've taken this too far now. I'm going to actually have to try and snap out of this.
Well, you couldn't snap out of it. You've done really well done. And obviously James' game got cancelled as well. So suddenly you weren't solo, which is phenomenal from the universe. Thank you.
Yes, I know. Thank you. And how are you, Zoe? I know this is, you know, been a bit of a tough week for you, I guess.
Yeah. Oh God. Thanks for asking. I think I'm fine. I just feel horribly sad. Obviously yesterday, well, we're recording on a Monday, so today is Flacky's anniversary of her death. I just can't believe it's been a year. It just feels still just so desperately, desperately sad, and what a shame. And we all miss her. You know, we talk about her a lot amongst our friendship group, and everybody's got their own pain and suffering around this. And, you know, you just keep replaying the same sort of questions, like, you know, why, and why couldn't you just hang on? And because I just keep thinking, like, you know, the COVID world would have hit and, you know, it would have just been a bit more quiet for her, but it hasn't happened, and you can't turn the clocks back. So I just think, you know, her legacy of leaving, you know, everyone thinking about the be kind message is something that I just want to focus on this week and going forward, like we always do, is just be kind to one another. And I know that everybody's going to be suffering, her friends, her family, and, you know, her lovely twin sister Jodie. It's just, yeah, it's a pretty shitty time, and I don't feel great. And I fell over in the supermarket today, like arse over tit. I didn't even slip on anything slippery, just slipped. And then the guy that was working there was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And then when I walked around the corner, I could hear him going to his work colleagues, well, you're not fine, love, are you? Because you're on the floor in a supermarket. And I was like, I'm just going to go back around there and go, listen, mate, today is not the day, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Do you know what? I don't cry, but that would have made me cry. I'd have been cross with myself for falling over and then cross with him. And oh, gosh, that is the sort of thing that tipped me over the edge.
It was like a three-prong attack, because then I saw my reflection in like some sort of tin can, or I don't know what it was, something in the supermarket, and I had the different mascara on that left like an imprint at the top of my eyelid. So I had like black, and I'd fallen over, and I was really sad. So, you know, it was just a great afternoon. But like, mate, listen, we've got to carry on, haven't we? It's like what we do. Absolutely. and doing the podcast gives me so much solace in having these conversations. And yes, the kids are off on half term, which is lovely, so we're having lots of cuddles.
Oh, that's great.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, I guess this year everyone is going to have suffered in some way. And as parents, we have to carry on, and we do just carry on.
I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how much she loved being around kids, and how, you know, a smile from your child can kind of heal you and lift you up and make you feel amazing. And I think that's one thing I'm just hanging on to this week, is just that, like, the kids, we're so lucky to have them. But yes. I put an Instagram post up this morning just saying how privileged I felt to have been on a journey with Carrie, and how magic it was. You know, everywhere she went, every door she walked into, she just lit up rooms, and we'd go on these adventures. It was just like, it was such a privilege to have had that time in her life. I'm lucky to have been her friend. So yeah, it's all fine. And we're going to get on with this before I start crying. We are chatting to somebody really amazing today.
Yes, we are, who has been on an incredible journey herself. She, you know, struggled from depression. And actually, in the chat, you'll hear her tell us how she actually attempted suicide. Mm. But where she is now couldn't be further from where she was all those years ago. So it's definitely a story with a really happy ending. So today we're chatting to Maria Fowler.
So very exciting. Joining us on the podcast today is the wonderful Maria Fowler. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Maria?
You know what? This is my first ever podcast.
I love this. Yeah. Where are you right this moment?
I'm sat on my bed at my house in Derby.
Okay. Lockdown treating you all right? How's it going? How's the house?
Oh, do you know what? It's going okay. We've kind of taken a new avenue with business, myself and my husband. So for us, obviously it's been difficult, but it's kind of given us time to both kind of reevaluate in our professional and personal life. So I've kind of tried to use it as a time of growth, as cheesy as that sounds.
I love it. So for those that don't know sort of your story, can you just sort of take us back to how you got into the public eye, and also like where you are now?
Okay, so when I was, oh gosh, we're going back nearly 11 years now, I was on The Only Way Is Essex. I was on the first three seasons, so when it was kind of like crazy, I left the show. I had struggles towards the end of the show, ended up leaving the show. It was just so difficult with the press and things like that. I kind of kept that presence on social media, kept things rolling. And yeah, 10 years on, I'm kind of still popping about. I've taken a step back from sort of the media, and I'm more focused on kind of blogging and being a mom and kind of the more simple things in life, really.
Is that where we first know you from The Only Way Is Essex? Is that kind of when you entered that media world and the public eye?
No, well, I moved to London at 20, and I did Page 3 for the Daily Star. So that's kind of my first sort of introduction into that sort of life. And I think that was the sort of basis of why I was put on The Only Way Is Essex, because I had that background. And back then it was all about that, wasn't it? Like the big hair, the cleavage, the big teeth. And yeah, times have changed a bit.
And sort of flash forward kind of 11 years. And it's, for me, this is why Georgia and I were really, really keen to chat to you today, because you've done such a 180 in terms of your I guess your message and your kind of what you're showing us on Instagram now, it feels a million miles away from where it was. And I guess the question is this a result of becoming a mum? And what do you really want to do with your social media profile now?
So it's so weird because it's just so happened. Like, it's not something I've actually sat down and thought, this is where I'm going, this is what's happening. It's kind of, it's taken me by surprise as much how I've developed and grown as I think it has from a lot of messages that I get of people saying, oh my gosh, I followed you for years. Like, you've totally, like you say, done a 180. It was just natural. I felt like I was at a point where I didn't really know where my social media was going. I didn't really want to be on there for the sake of being on there. I don't want to be sat in my underwear holding a 24 red roses on Valentine's Day. And I've got nothing against that and nothing against it, but it just didn't feel natural to me. And I was doing, you know, pictures for fashion brands, and I'm saying to my husband, like, these look crap. I'm not naturally one of these influencers. It just looks amazing doing these pictures. And I just felt like it was really getting me down because I just felt pressured to perform and produce these pictures where during lockdown, I said, this isn't my lifestyle. Like, I'm not out drinking cocktails. And naturally, I think when I had my second daughter, I put a picture on that I felt like, I don't want to sound too deep, but it like was liberating for me to kind of go, this is what I look like. This is my body. And it got such a good response that it made me feel so good. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, this is a stronger message than showing, look how much weight I've looked, look how amazing I look. Don't get me wrong, some people do look amazing after having babies, but for the majority of us, it's not real. And to post pictures like that, it just feels like, for me personally, like, it just feels a bit fraudulent because it's not real. It's not who I am.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, your background and being in the Only Wears Essex and doing glamour modelling and that kind of stuff has, I guess, impacted the way you feel? And, you know, you've put so much pressure on yourself. And now that you're a mum to, you know, to two girls, is that something you kind of want to them to grow up not feeling? You know, that real pressure of how you look and what other people think of you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really becoming a feminist, and I know that term's got a lot of stigma, but I'm really educating myself and I'm following lots of incredible people on Instagram and learning from them. One I love is La 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 Let Me Explain. I don't know if you're familiar with her. Her message, she's a social worker, and her messages are just really inspiring as to how I want to bring my daughters up. And, you know, I'm still learning as well, and I'm not here to kind of go, this is how to bring up girls. There's a lot of things with girls, and it's, you know, the image that they have to feel that they have to be and have to look. And I've seen, do you know Florence Given?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of inspirational people, and, you know, like, is it Women Don't Owe You Pretty? And I really feel that I want them to grow up not feeling that they have to, it sounds quite like, well, that's what I did for so many years, but I don't want them to grow up feeling that they've got to look a certain way and be a certain way and give themselves too easily, because, you know, I just don't think it's great for their self-esteem.
Georgia and I have this conversation a lot. We talk about it a lot on Mobile Mamas. We talk about it personally between the two of us. And it's fascinating because actually James came on the podcast, last week. And she was talking about how she struggled to raise, you know, the idea to have a boy in her life and to raise a man because of the way she'd been treated by men in her past. And I said, I feel like any gender, it comes with its issues and its worries because, you know, we've all been teenage girls before. We've known the pressures. Now you add in social media and, you know, there is still that kind of like, you know, oh, doesn't she look amazing? And airbrushed images and edited images, you know, by various people on Instagram that we're just consuming constantly. And it's frightening. It's frightening that that is a world that they're going to have to grow up in. I mean, for me, I don't want them anywhere near it because I just want to protect Luna and Isla for as long as possible. Yeah. But you can't keep them wrapped up in cotton wool, can you?
Yeah. And I think there's this thing. I think our generation are probably finding this quite hard because we grew up, I mean, I'm 35 this year, and when we were at school, the magazines for girls were how to get him to fancy you, wear perfume that he likes, and wear lipstick and all this stuff. Whereas boys' magazines were just about, here's a woman with not a lot on. And it's a really damaging message in hindsight, looking back at, hang on, we were all about, you look good to attract a man. And it's a very, very hard mindset to get out of.
I was just going to say, because obviously you were doing page three. That is the world. You were that person. And so I guess, what did it do to you? And what if your daughters turned around to you and said, this is where I want to go? What would you say to them?
Oh God, hopefully it's all banned by then. Not really. It's hard, isn't it? I mean, I'm all for women doing what they want to do, and I've got nothing against page three or glamour modeling or anything like that. It's hard. I think you just have to teach them the boundaries and the respect, and another thing as well, it's not giving themselves too easily and feeling like they have to do certain things for men to fancy them and boys to fancy them. And it's a journey I'm on, like learning about it, where I'm not ready fully yet to say, bam, 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 this is what I think, because I'm still learning. The body confidence, I feel like I know a lot about that, but whereas the bringing up the girls, it's something I'm still learning. Because it's hard to kind of learn ourselves and to get certain kind of social, you know, the way society is, to get that out of our own heads, because that's how we've been conditioned and that's how we've grown up.
Absolutely. I mean, Zoe and I even talk about, you know, just putting makeup on in front of, you know, our girls. I mean, my son Axel asks me all the time, oh, can I put some makeup on? Why do you put makeup on? And it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like, you want to just say, oh, I put it on because it makes me feel better. But then you equally don't want them to think you have to put makeup on to make you feel better.
Yeah.
Or, you know, them see you, or they see you shaving your legs and your armpits. And and I think, well, I am doing this because I want to do it. I'm not doing it because my husband likes me to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know why I want to do it. Do you know what I mean? I'm doing it because I just do. That's why. I don't know what the answer is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think, oh, I'm not going to like not shave my legs or anything. Don't get me wrong. And then I think, should I want to stop? Like, does this mean I'm not a feminist or whatever? But no, I'm happy to keep shaving my legs. But like you say, you know, I tell my daughter that she's beautiful, and then I think, oh, and you're clever and you're kind, and I think,
I say this all the time.
I think am I and then you then I think oh my god am I just really looking into this too much, where I'm thinking I shouldn't be constantly telling her she's beautiful, but I want to tell her she's beautiful. It's so hard. It's just finding that balance. And I try and say, you're beautiful, you're kind, you're clever, you're brave. And I try and kind of stick with those four, so that I'm not focusing. I don't want her to grow up with a chip on her shoulder thinking, well, you know, where I've kind of pushed it on her and made her think, well, I don't want to be beautiful. And, you know, it's so hard. It really is.
I think this is the hardest part, actually, because you can't get it right. And the other day I made a comment about the fact that, you know, I try and stay away from beautiful and pretty with my girls. And I try and say to them, you know, you're smart and you're funny and you're clever and you can do anything and, you know, you're strong and all this stuff. And then I got a message from somebody saying, I was conditioned in a house where my father never told me that I was beautiful, and I grew up thinking I was ugly. And I thought, fuck. This is the hardest thing, because, you know, what we're saying here is that we want to arm our girls with the tools to, you know, to be able to wear makeup, to choose to wear makeup, because, okay, it enhances our features. It also makes us feel good and confident, but it doesn't create who we are. It doesn't, you know, a face full of makeup is not a happy person. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's just an add-on that can be fun. We've got to give them that. But I think it's the toughest thing. Because, you know, you can arm them with sex. You know, you can tell them that you shouldn't give yourself too easy to somebody. Then you hang out and you miss out and you don't experience the fun things. Like, even just down to those parts of raising girls, that spins my head out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is where I say, like, I'm not quite ready to fully to do this. I need to, I don't just want to see a few quotes on Instagram and that become my attitude. I want to understand them. And like you say, you want to say you can do anything to your kids, but then they need to understand that you can't do everything, that sometimes you're not going to be the best at things. It's so hard. Everything's got like a flip side, hasn't it?
Yes. Absolutely.
Big time. we've touched on body confidence, and I think this is a really interesting one with you, Maria, because aesthetically, you know, when you were, you know, doing your glamour modeling and, you know, you were kind of everywhere, it was like, wow, there was this, like, you know, you were just so visual to the eye. It was just like, wow. I remember looking at you just thinking, wow, that body and incredible. But obviously what was going on inside was a different story from what I can tell from what you've said. So what happened then, and what has made you feel confident enough now to kind of say, do you know what, this is me and I'm great in my own skin, thank you very much, but my skin doesn't look like that anymore?
Age, I think. I think as you get older, you just think, do you know what, I can't be arsed with trying to be this person that society expects me to be. And I'm not saying that I'm not trying to get fitter and I'm not trying to look better and how I'm comfortable looking, and but it's okay not to look like the pictures that you see on the magazines, because most of the time it's not real. I mean, even pap pictures, I've had my pap pictures touched, edited and stuff before, and I think, God, like, because you feel that if you don't do it, everyone else is doing it, and then people are comparing you and they're thinking, God, she's a bit fat, or she doesn't look great. They're all at it, like, they're and I think the minute you turn around and go, oh, do you know what, this is me, it is liberating, and you think, you feel so much more comfortable and relaxed. And, you know, I can't do it to people. I can't be putting pictures on making out I'm a size 8 or 10 or whatever after I've had a baby, because I'm not. And it's so damaging to people.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, yeah, I mean, social media is incredible for that kind of thing. You know, the fact that a lot of us now are just like, do you know what? We've put on this front for so long. I mean, everyone, you know, whether you've got 10 followers or 10 million followers, everyone at some point is trying to put their best life on social media. But I feel like now that's kind of been stripped back. But I reckon particularly this year, where we haven't been on fancy holidays and we haven't been able to show our best life because everyone's in the same position. And yeah, I mean, everyone, you know, we've all changed and we've all done a bit of a 180. But I guess the question is, we saw, you know, that you were saying that you are raising your daughter without screens. And is that, is that because you don't want her to find social media quickly? Or, you know, what was your thinking behind that, I guess?
Do you know, I've got nothing against what anybody chooses to do, because we've all got our own lives and lifestyles and reasons for things. But for us as a couple, we just wanted her to grow up being there with us all the time. And I don't know, it's hard to say this without sounding like there's any judgment, because there isn't any judgment. But for us personally, like, we just wanted her to be in the moments with us and not be engrossed in a screen. And I know a lot of parents, you can limit that, but we gave Evie a phone when she was, no, we didn't give her a phone. We gave her our phone when she was a baby. And we went out somewhere and there was no 3G. Oh, she screamed and screamed and screamed. And when I got in the car, I left my wine. I got in the car and I went, that's it, I'm not doing it again. And for us, it was just that decision. We'd said we weren't going to do it when we had her. And yeah, it is. It's what they see and what and it was, you know, the whole Momo. Do you remember all that on YouTube? And
yes. What's Momo?
It was like someone was kind of hijacking YouTube videos, wasn't it? It was like weird. Maria, explain
how
exactly
would you describe
what it was.
It?
Yeah,
it was like this scary thing that had come up. It'd go, Momo's gonna get you, Momo's gonna get you, and it'd tell children, like, you've got to jump down the stairs or Momo's gonna get you. And I don't know how much of it was kind of made bigger by the media, but yeah, I was just like, okay, this is weird. Like,
and I'm scared, just watched, and I'm 38. Momo's gonna get me, Jesus.
Yeah. She does watch stuff now on YouTube, on the TV, because obviously we can't just totally shield from the world, like, and she does learn a lot on there, but we just think she can't take that out with us. We can see what she's looking at. There is going to be a time when we are going to introduce it, but it's just working for us as a family. So it's all personal choice.
We'll be right back after the short break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
So when you say no screens, is that no phones, no iPads, but they can watch the telly?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
I get that. I totally get that. I find that if my son, Axel, is on the iPad for too long and then you go to take it away, you think, oh my God, why did I even give it to him in the first place?
Because
this is just, you know, that half an hour I had to myself has just been ruined.
They look like zombies. I reckon, like, I definitely do it. Like, on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I do.
We sat in front of the telly. The kids, you know, were on their iPads for a couple of hours. They're just those Amazon Fire things. They're great. But they sort of were like zombies afterwards, like black eyes and sort of. And it's only because we were too exhausted. We'd had a massive week. And it was kind of for us. For them, it was not, you know, it doesn't really do huge amounts. So I'm a bit like you. I try and limit the time. But at the same time, I think you have to make it work for you, don't you? It's like whatever fits in with your lifestyle. Some parents at the moment are having to try and homeschool. Then they've got little ones that aren't going to nursery. They're trying to do their job at the same time. And it's like, what are we left with? We kind of have to do what we have to do.
100%. I mean, we're fortunate enough. We have two TVs downstairs. So we are starting to, like you say, go on, you watch YouTube for a bit in the living room and she'll watch people unwrapping Kinder eggs for 4 hours. Yeah. Yeah. We say, it'll make your brain small, Evie. You've got to watch some learning. But we have been letting her do that because, yeah, like you say, we just need the break. But for us, I think it wasn't a matter of not wanting to give it them. It was the problems of trying to take it off them when they don't want to give it you back. And, you know, in a restaurant and stuff, we just thought, let's just not do it. But yeah, we do YouTube at home, 100%. It's a godsend.
And so going back to your Instagram and all of your amazing body confidence stuff, which, by the way, Georgia and I absolutely adore because I just think it's so brilliantly raw and wonderful. What's kind of your dream with it all? And do you have any tips for anybody that's listening that really doesn't feel body confident at all?
My dream with it is just to gain, you know, give people that confidence. And, you know, if it makes one person feel better, I had a lady send me a photo of what her 11-year-old had written for a school assessment, and it was about body confidence and about her following someone, which was me on Instagram, and they'd said it's okay to be comfortable in your skin, and what she'd taken, those messages she'd taken from that. And I thought, oh my gosh, if an 11-year-old's writing this, this is quite powerful. Like, it's such a powerful message. I mean, my goal, my dream would be that every influencer was happy to post pictures, and I know they're not, and it's hard because I also try and get across it. Let's not bash people that do edit their pictures, because I used to edit pictures, and it's through feeling insecure and feeling like you have to look a certain way. So it's not that they're the devils in this, they're victims to it as well. I would say follow more people that make you feel good. That's a big thing, because people do spend a lot of time on social media. And if you are looking at pictures and it makes you feel a bit crap, then just unfollow. Like, follow people that are going to empower you and have that discussion with friends, because you say to your friends, God, you know, since I've had a baby, my sex drive's gone. And they go, oh, me too. And you can have a laugh about it. And those kind of conversations, they really make you feel like you're not on your own. And you can say, oh, gosh, my, you know, you turn around to your friend who you think's perfect and you say, oh, God, my body has been this and that since I've had a baby. And they turn around and say, me too. And you think, oh, you're a size 8. How can you feel like that? Next minute, they're sending you a picture of the belly button saying it looks like a cat's bum. And you think, oh, my God, like, I thought you were perfect. Like,
yeah. So true. It's so true. All my boobs that look like the empty chicken fillets. It's just so, yeah. It's just like, I'm trying to love them. I'm loving them more. I think I'm accepting them more and loving them more and looking at them more. But there's certain positions that I lie in the bed and I look down at them and I think, oh, fucking hell, I'm not happy with that. They never used to be that saggy.
Oh, no. I just think the conversation, opening conversation with your friends, and because my friends, I'm quite lucky, like I'm surrounded by, more recently, the friends that I've made since I've had my daughter and where we've moved, friends that live on my street and that, like, they are what I'd say your normal girls, like they're not trying to be, you know, they don't put all these pictures online, and they're just normal, nice people. And they're the kind of people that I surround myself with. I can't be bothered with, you know, like the clicks and the, like, you've got to be perfect. And I can't be bothered with all of that. I just think you've just got to have those conversations, surround yourself with people who, you know, like-minded people, really.
Real people.
That make you feel good. Exactly. Yeah. And so you mentioned that you obviously moved back to Derby. Did you move back to Derby when you felt like you were ready to settle and have a family? And was that always the plan?
Yeah, well, I moved to Scotland with an ex, got dumped, moved back to Derby, moved to Peterborough with another ex who was a horror. And then I just thought, where do I go, London or Derby? And I thought, I need a real life. Like, I need to be around real people that care about me. And I think in Essex, and at that time I was there, it was all about what car you had, what watch you had, and I can't be arsed with it, to be honest. I'm not saying everybody's like that. There's some amazing people in London, and it depends, I guess, what circles you're in, but the circles I were in, it just wasn't real life. And it was all, people were your best friend if you had a lot of screen time on the show, and it just didn't feel like, it just didn't seem to me like a place that I wanted to have children and grow, like, you know, that particular place that I was in down there. And I went through a bad time down there, and I just needed to kind of come back and, like, reset.
Do you think about your past down there a lot? Do you ever kind of go back to that period of your life?
I think about the depression that I went through a lot. I attempted to end my life and things like that. And I do think back to them, but more from now, it doesn't sting as much. Like, I look back and I think how far I've come. Oh God, when I talk about it, it does make me a bit like, oh gosh. But yeah, I just look at pictures of myself, and it's weird. Like you say, the pictures in the little dresses with the boobs, and I just think, unhappy, unhappy, unhappy. Like, I just, it's so weird. I look back and I think, God, I was trying to, like, all I wanted was to settle down and have a family. And it just never sort of happened back then. And yeah, I do look back at pictures and I think, oh, bless you, like, I just want to, like, give myself a hug and say, look, if I'd have known then that I would be settled down with a family, and that I think I would have maybe felt better at the time.
Yeah.
I think it's quite incredible, though, and we actually started this conversation, you know, when it wasn't recording, you know, talking about, you've lost a friend recently to suicide. You know, we all lost a national treasure last year because of it, and a friend of mine, and I think, you know, you've obviously just made that admission now and sort of said that you tried to end your life, and outwardly, and for everybody else that was kind of watching you, you know, you had it all, right? It seemed like you had it all, and there was a big smile going on there, and you just don't know what's going on behind closed doors. It has to be a change to, you know, keep talking and keep reaching out, and the online bullying has to stop, and, you know, the snidey comments and the way that we treat, you know, we have to be kind. We have to be kind.
100%. And I think, it, sad as it sounds, the more real you put yourself out and the more vulnerable you appear, the nicer people are to you. And I think it's a shame it's like that, but the internet is littered with, you know, the forums. You just think, what are you doing? Like, can't we just all be happy and be nice? Like, why do we have to pull people down all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you get any, you know, nasty negative comments now? You just mentioned that actually being, you know, more open and real on Instagram, you don't seem to get so many. But do you get any? Are there people who are still there trying to drag you down?
Not to my face, no. They don't message me. But there are things that people write on certain horrible corners of the internet. But to be honest, I don't read it. I used to read it. I don't read it anymore. So I just take myself away from it. I just think it's negative. And whatever someone says about me, like, I know I'm a good person. I know I look after my children and, you know, I work and I pay my taxes. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that I can sleep at night. And that it's a shame. It does get to you at times. But, I mean, the worst I ever had was, it was from the press, actually. That's what led me to be in a really dark place. And that's another reason why I just stay out of it. I try, you know, I copyright my pictures. I don't want to be on the Mail Online. I don't really, unless it was for a positive thing. I just think it's all, I don't know. I think it just gives me so much anxiety. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you obviously mentioned, you know, that you tried to take your own life and you were, you know, suffering from depression. Is that something you'll tell your daughters about as they grow up? Will you tell them about, you know, what happened to you and I guess how you came through it?
I think when they're old enough, I definitely need to have that conversation with them. But again, it is finding the right way to talk about it without normalizing it and making them think. It's back to that thing of like, how do we get this message across?
Yeah, in the right way.
Yeah, and I will talk to them about depression and mental health 100%. I think it's, you know, even now I'm trying to get that be kind message to Evie, and I'm talking to her about, you know, when she starts school in September, she'll be one of the oldest and she's got to look after people, and if anybody's being mean, and you know, you try without scaring them, you try and kind of like plant them little seeds and hope that they'll take it on board and remember it.
Oh, I'm exactly the same. We've both got Luna starting in September as well, and she's going to be one of the oldest because she's a September baby. So I keep saying that to her as well. And I think it's one of my biggest fears, actually. I don't know about for you guys, but getting that phone call to say, oh, you know, your kid's been bullying. So it's just like, it would destroy me, because hopefully we're raising them to just be so aware of other people's feelings. I just want them to be the one that always goes to people if they're hurt or upset or sad. I'm not really worried about like academia. I mean, I, you know, that's not really my driver. I just want to make them amazingly kind humans so that they just, they're aware of people. They look after people. They're just emotionally sorted and mature. That's what I want.
Isn't it scary though, thinking you're sending them out into their world, influencers, and oh God.
We're just going to lock them up and keep them at home forever.
No, oh my goodness. All I do is I feel like I'm brainwashing Axel. I'm like, what are you going to be when you're older, Axel? A doctor, Axel. A doctor. Because we can help people. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be a doctor and a racing driver. No. Just a doctor. Nope. Just a doctor. Just to be kind to people.
That's amazing, George. And a racing driver?
No.
Too dangerous.
Not about that.
It is hard though, because you feel like all the little things you say, you think you have to kind of like censor everything, don't you? Because you think, oh, if I say that, or you know, like if she sees me weighing myself, or you know, things like that. It's so hard, isn't it?
Absolutely. Oh God. I mean, don't even, my husband says to me that I spend more time worrying about things that haven't happened than actually stuff that's going on in our lives. I'm like, shit, who have I become? But we can only do what we can only do. And I say this again a lot. I'm like, they may turn around to us at some point during their life and say, mum, dad, you fucked me up. And that is it. You can't do anything about that.
Oh my gosh.
Am I right? I'm right. That's a great place to end.
You are right.
Listen, before we go, Maria, we love to ask our guests for the best piece of advice that they would give a new parent.
Take your time. Don't feel pressure to have people around. Stick to how you want to bring them up. You know, if you don't want them eating certain, whatever, like whatever it is, be firm. Because I find that with your first baby, you have more of a voice with your second, don't you? But with your first, sometimes you can feel like people are holding them and you're like, you just want them back. And I just think be firm and yeah, like if you don't want people around, don't have them round. Just be strong with how you want to parent as well.
Yeah, agree. And also, our listeners love to hear about, you know, the best products. So what are your like favourite sort of diehard baby products?
We love the Sleepy Head, which has changed names now. They're beautiful, the new ones. You need to have a look at them. Well, mind you, you probably won't need them now, will you?
No,
not if Jordan keeps her legs crossed.
I mean, anyone who listens to the podcast knows that that comment is a
that was projection.
Yes, that was a projection.
I called Dockertot now.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Dockertot, the Kakuna baby is good as well when they're newborn. But the Dockertot lasts longer, so you get more wear out of it.
Wow.
Nice.
The perfect prep if you're bottle feeding.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, the Snuzz Pod. I love that.
Yes, the little pod. I really love that as well.
I had another C-section, and this time having that I could sit down and just sort of slide her out in the night was so much better than having to sit up and get her out of her Moses basket.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, agree.
And that has the reflux tilt as well.
And is there stuff that you use with Evie now, now that she's a bit older, that like your diehard things that she can't live without?
She does love puzzles. Like, she loves puzzles and games. I mean, she's just princess mad at the minute. So I think probably one of the best things we got was a play kitchen. Like, we've got so much use out of that.
The play kitchens are amazing. Also for us, like, I love anything that's small. You know, like,
like
tiny little mini things. I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Why? That's such a weird admission.
No. It's not. I'm exactly the same, Zoe. Like, miniature anything. When you're like, oh, my God, it's miniature high-baked beans.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah, like the Sylvanian families with them tiny little wine glasses. Straight up the Hoover.
This is incredible. Brilliant. Maria, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute treat to chat
Thanks
to you.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's been wonderful.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Wasn't it lovely to hear Maria's story and just how much she embraces her new life, like in every aspect, not just the motherhood side, but, you know, her mindset, body confidence, just everything.
Yeah, I love her message. I love how powerful it is now. And I really love how she's sort of forming a really strong opinion on how she wants to raise her kids and how she views herself. And I really liked where we were in the chat, sort of talking about her ex-Towie days and how she sort of looks back at that period. You know, it was all like teeth and boobs and hair extensions and stuff. And actually, she was just fucking miserable, like really miserable and not happy in her own skin. And she seems to really love her skin now and love everything about herself, you know, and inside seems really strong, mentally seems really strong. It's brilliant. It's really brilliant. It's a really powerful story.
Yeah, and you know what? I really hope we are in a different place now. I think there are so many things that she was saying there about, you know, just the way we've kind of been conditioned, like our generation.
Oh, yeah.
And the magazines we used to read. And I hadn't even really thought about that before, you know, like how to get a boy to fancy you.
Oh,
that
God.
Was just like the norm, wasn't it? You'd pick up all, you know, all your magazines, even from like those silly magazines when you were a teenager, what was it, like Bliss and
yeah, Bliss
like that.
And things, yeah.
That would all be that. I mean, now, as a parent, if there was a magazine like that, I wouldn't be buying it for my daughter. And I don't think it would be out there anymore, actually.
Five ways to get your ex back. Five ways to get your ex to notice you. It's like, well, fuck your ex. Your ex slept with your best mate. Get rid of him.
Exactly. So, you know what? Even if it's baby steps, I think we really are on track to, you know, make it a better place for our kids to grow up in. So
yeah, we'll be driving that. We'll be driving that conversation.
Absolutely.
Listen, as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. You know how to do that by now, but if you do have time to leave us a little 5-star review, that would be so nice. Really helpful to spread the Made by Mamas podcast word.
Yeah, and if you've got any suggestions for guests or, you know, topics you want us to cover or incredible experts that you've seen, then please drop us a DM at Made by Mamas and we'll be back on Friday with a Q&A episode.
See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.